Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, that's 25 minutes of my life I'll never get back again.
Oh,
hey, howdy. Hello? Is this thing on? God only knows. I hate gremlins. I really do. That's what I... And just a gentle reminder, if you want to find out if the program's going to be late or not at all or anything like that, I will always, or almost always, as long as it's within my power, I will either put it, well, I put it out on Twitter, and that regenerates it onto Facebook. And so as long as you're following me on Facebook or on Twitter or both, you will know the instant that I know that there's been a delay or a technical difficulty or anything like that. So, hey, sign up with Twitter. Sign up with Facebook. Maybe go to Instagram or Vine or the Weed or whatever the latest social media thingamajig is. It's been an interesting day. Well and truly it has. Weather-wise, I'm not complaining. I was actually too warm last night, which was really cool. Does that make any sense? Only idiomatically. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. We've got a merry band already gathered together in the headonradionetwork.com chat room. You can be part of the merry band as well, and all you got to do is go there, sign in, pick a screen name, pick a password, and there you go. Good evening and welcome to Blake and Madison, to News Ninja Carol Baker, Carol Abel, C.A. Sykes, Devin, Doctor Who, Gerald, Jay Cruisen, Jug of Punch, M. Brent, Sentient, Stockton Larry, Texas T, all right there with us, capably moderated by inveterate, indefatigable, veteran chat room moderator Lottie. Sparky will be along presently. He sent me a note earlier, so, yeah, it's just a matter he'll be along in the second hour, which is only, you know, thanks to the Gremlins, 33 minutes away. I don't know about this old production machine. I'm trying to think of just how many years this thing has been on for nearly ever. But, I mean, part of the problem was that it just wouldn't run anything. And couldn't get audio through it or anything like that. And the hard drive light was just sitting there grinding and grinding and grinding. Not a good sign. Not a good sign. But anyway, we're here. Finally freaking here. And I'm tickled pink. It's because it's been a more and wonderful weekend, and this here, well, yes, you know, right, don't you? Yeah, this here is more and Monday.
You gotta remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know. Morons.
Yes, indeed. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. It's Moran Monday on the Horn.
more ends beyond your wildest imaginings. Right here behind this cybernetic veil of canvas, just immediately in back of me, you will find more ends of all persuasions, more ends of all sorts, more ends of all kinds. Right-wing morans, birther morans, deather morans, tenther morans, booger-eaten morans, bircher morans, libertarian morans, republican morans, more morans than you can shake a stick at. And don't shake any sticks at the morans because, well, they tend toward violence and you never know when one of them might have a gun. Apparently lots of them have guns. Indeed, 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 you can't tell the morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the morans. You just can't tell them much. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morans. Oh, Lord, yes, Lord, Lord, yes, oh, my God, yes. Thank you very kindly getting started to Randy in PA and Robert in Australia. Oh, yeah, this thing's on loud and clear in Oz. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Randy. Oh, where to begin? Where to begin? It's a tough call this evening because, well, stupid was out in force. Many thanks to News Ninja Carol Baker for pointing out a couple of our lead nominees this evening. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Beyond just right-wing morans, we've also got a terrified populist moran nomination this evening as well. But, this is precious. So, you know that, marriage equality is working its way across the country. Even in places like Texistan. Mm-hmm. But Texistan is just chock-a-block with defenders of traditional family values. Many of whom apparently wear cowboy hats inside. Oh well, whatever. TPM has the story via News Ninja Carol Baker. This is just precious. A new bill has been introduced in the Texas legislature, which only meets every 2 years, but unfortunately is apparently meeting this year. Representative Cecil Bell, he's a re-pig-licking, and he's a God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian. Texan. Probably a gun-to-mentalist into the bargain, but there's nothing in here about that. He's introduced him a bill that says, and this here's a quote, local state government employees may not recognize, grant, or enforce a same-sex merge license. Even if it's federal law that you can do. Okay, so you said they can't do that, right? Representing Bell? Sure. Well, so what? What if they do anyway? Well, then, according to Representing Bell, if there's any Texas gay marrying going on, and any agents of the state of Texas, which I guess would include your, I don't know what the state government structure is there, so a little help might be handy. Round hereabouts, marriage licenses are issued by the county clerk. Something like that. Texas T, a little help here. Beth, if you're out there. But the county clerk is paid by the county. Well, maybe they're all paid by the state in Texas. But if a county clerk issues a marriage license, this here brand new bill says that clerk wouldn't get paid no more. May not continue to receive a salary, pension, or other employee benefit at the expense of the taxpayers of this state.
Now, ultimately, same-sex marriage, what we like to call as, what we'd like to refer to as marriage equality, meaning people who love each other can get married without any official or state government trying to look down their pants or up their blouses or around their blouse, you know. Well, when it becomes federal law, and it will, it's still going back to the Supreme Court and the rats, Roberts, Alito, Thomas, and Scalia, but it will, either the 14th Amendment means what it means, or the 14th Amendment just might as well come off the books. Now, granted, amongst the right-wingers and your Heritage Foundation and your American Competitive Patriotic Enterprise Institute tank of thinking types, they would like for the 14th Amendment to go away, because then we could do something about them damn anchor babies. But this proposed bill is actually kind of meaningful. You could argue, in point of fact, that this bill is a declaration of, well, it is, in the language of the mid-19th century, you could argue that this bill is an ordinance of secession. Because they're saying that even if it's a matter of federal law, Texas state officials cannot follow federal law, and if they follow federal law, they lose the entirety of their salary. Now, as I said, I don't know how Texas works, but here in almost level West by Coal Virginia Stan, issuing marriage licenses is just a teeny, itsy-bitsy, tiny, little, microscopic fraction of the duties of a county clerk. A county clerk here in, is there a commissioner? Texas got all kinds of commissioners. Is there a commissioner of weddings? A commissioner of marrying? But at least here and in many other jurisdictions, well, for instance, the county clerk is designated the de facto recorder of the county commission. So the county clerk is in charge of keeping all the minutes and notes and everything of county commission meetings. The county clerk, you know, is in charge of record keeping, the record room, deeds, mortgages, deeds of trust, wills, judgments, liens, death records, birth records, all of that. In this state, the county clerk functions in part in vote counting. But yes, you also go to the county clerk if you want to get all murried up. And so unless there's a specific commissioner of wedding license issue in Texas, the entirety of a state worker's salary would be forfeit for following federal law, which is supreme to state law. The entirety of the salary is forfeit for following a federal law in regard to one tiny little aspect of their job. Uh-huh. Now, so as TPM notes, everybody looks at this and goes, well, that's clearly unconstitutional. Well, that's why I say that this functions as a de facto ordinance of secession, because these jackanapeses in Texas have declared that they, you know, Constitution, we don't need no stinking federal constitution. There's all kinds of mumbo jumbo inside this bill. The state is not subject to suit in law or equity pursuant to the 11th Amendment of the United States Constitution for complying with the provisions of this section, regardless of a contrary federal court ruling. Really? Well, I'll be dipped. We're just going to go right out there and dig up Chief Justice John Marshall and tell him where he can stick his Marbury versus Madison decision. And while we're at it, seeing as Dr. Bill was covering the topic and has been covering the topic, we'll just tell Messrs. Hamilton and Madison where they can stick their Federalist Papers while we're at it. Because as Dr. Bill has pointed out, and if you're not listening to Dr. Bill, I don't know why, unless you just have absolutely no interest in how this country got to be the way this country is. The principle of judicial supremacy is introduced not in the Constitution, but in the Federalist Papers, of which John Marshall was well aware. And John Marshall, by the way, was a Federalist. And he declared that the Supreme Court of the United States is the final arbiter of all cases of, legal conflict. Granted, the concept of Texas was not even a glimmer in John Marshall's eye. It might have been a glimmer in Aaron Burr's, but not John Marshall's. But when you have just said that you don't care what the federal court says, you ain't a-gonna have it happen, I'm not trying to over-dramatize this. I mean, it's not like they've massed open carry Tarrant County outside the gates of Fort Hood or anything like that, but or open carry where the hell ever. They're not lobbing shells yet, but Texas is stating that it has no desire to be a part of the Union. And I mention this at the top of the program because it is of a piece. Well, how many years ago was it? Two, three, before he got his smart man glasses, that Governor Rick Perry was saying that he wasn't sure, but he was thinking it might be a good idea for Texas to secede. Or as they spell it down on Congress Street, SECNY. No, really, there's a famous photograph of that. The Morans wanted to sec D. And they've got all the traps laid. So let's say that the federal government doesn't pay attention and decides that they're in contravention of the United States Constitution. Anywho, well. There's a clause in the bill for that too. A court of this state shall dismiss a legal action challenging a provision of this section and shall award costs and attorney's fees to a person or entity named as a defendant in the legal action. What if the case is brought in federal court? Well, see above. This state is not subject to a suit in law or equity, pursuant to the 11th Amendment. Pay attention, watch this, and if folks don't mind, I would appreciate follow-up from the Texas contingent of the Horn Family Commune Congregation. Keep up with this, would you? Do y'all have any way down there tracking bills as they go through the legislature? Because I got to think, given the makeup of the Texas legislature, both houses, I got to think that this thing is going to sail through like X-lax through a goose. And similarly, it won't be pretty when they're done. And brand new Governor Ayton, what's his name? Abbott? Greg Abbott? Well, he'll sign this just lickety-split. Does Texas really want out of the union? With legislation like this, I think it's a fair question. And, well, all we can do is wait and find out. This is nullification of a pretty significant degree. And you'd think there would be something we could do about it, but, well, I guess we've just got to wait and let it take its course. I mean, it's got to be a law first. There's this concept within the court system called justiciability. Courts won't issue rulings on things that legislatures are thinking about doing. If a legislature is thinking about doing something stupid, the court won't waste its time on it until it's actually done the stupid thing. You kind of wish it could be otherwise, don't you? Yeah. But it isn't. Meanwhile, I'm sure you noticed over the weekend that 3 million Frenchmen and women gathered together, in excess of 3 million actually, for a solidarity march through the streets of Paris to show that they will not be bullied or put in fear by the Muslims. ninety-nine point nine percent of whom aren't anybody to be afraid of anyway. And even with what went on in France, even with September 11th, 2001, even with the bombings in Spain and Britain and that Yahoo recently in Australia, you've still got a better chance of being hurt standing outside in a lightning storm, and you don't even have to take your golf club with you, than you do of being hurt by the tourists. And as I observed over the weekend, and I don't want don't take this as being insensitive on my part. That's not my point. But if you really, really think about it, the Muslim tourists are kind of sorry when it comes to doing terrorism. What's their body count up to? Have they gotten to 4,000 yet? I mean, these two assholes on Wednesday in Paris managed to kill 12 people? Shit. Here in America, one teenager with his mommy's freedom protector can almost double that with one trip to an elementary school. I mean, hell. One liberty-minded grad student in Colorado can do that just going to the damn movies. That shit can happen going to a grocery store in Tucson, changing classes at Virginia Tech. And then, of course, there's September 11th. Which made this coward nation, if there are any right-wing lurkers out there, that's C-O-W-E-R-E-D, you know, hunkered down, scared to death, coward, you know, we are cowering out of our fear, have a national conniption, as one might expect. And we then started a war against a country that had absolutely nothing to do with September 11th. And we started it in, what, March 2003? And a year and a half later, by Halloween, and I remember this because I damn near got thrown off the air over it, because I was back on the terrestrial radio back then. A Johns Hopkins study had come out in conjunction with officials in Iraq, and they stated that the number of statistical excess deaths that had transpired in Iraq since George Bush declared, "Hey, Saddam tried to kill my daddy, fuck him," was around 1 million, conservatively estimated. The study authors noted that it was probably more than 1 million. And these were not 1 million soldiers. These were 1 million innocent civilians. This was 1 million moms going to get the daily bread. This was 1 million little girls and 1 million little boys playing in the dusty streets where children have played since humans decided to settle down and stay a spell. This was 1 million daddies trying to work to feed their families. 1 million worshipers in mosques. 1 million teachers, 1 million doctors. And that's before the war was even 2 years old. Yeah. Ron in Raleigh asking, Bob, do you count the Boko Haram 2000 in Kenya this past weekend? I do, Ron, but the rest of the world doesn't. God knows Republicans don't. They probably don't even know what happened. Oh, for pity's sake, you're kidding. Ron also pointing out, you know, Bob, that you know who disagrees with Marbury versus Madison. He and Phyllis Schlafly do. Ron notes, P.S., I guess they think they can trap law this like they have abortion rights. Oh, God. Yeah. Well, I mention all of this because American right-wing media are having a conniption over this, and suddenly, after all those years of calling the French wine-swilling, cheese-eating surrender monkeys, the right wing thinks that France is just neato keen if they'll just go and attack. You know, if maybe they could go and attack. Pick a country with a Muslim. Maybe France could attack Indonesia. Indonesia had nothing to do whatsoever with the attacks on either the Delhi or the offices of Charlie Hebdo. And that's precisely the point. Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, but we attacked Iraq now, didn't we? Yeah. And that brings us to our next nominee. I think rather than do any kind of a setup, I'm just going to let it roll. Is that okay? Yeah. Oh, God. Did I mention hockey puck? I hope I did.
And and France this morning remaining on high alert with one terror suspect still on the loose. Intelligence sources abroad say she left the country before the attacks this week and likely made her way into Syria through Turkey. This as we get a verified video showing her common-law husband spouting jihadist propaganda in front of the Islamic State flag. The footage shot just before his death at that kosher grocery store on Friday.
Time out. Quick question. If the woman left France before the attacks were ever perpetrated, and her name is Hayat Boumediene, she is said to have transited through Istanbul and is in Syria now. How is it that she's a terrorism suspect? She didn't pull any triggers, did she? Is there any evidence that she loaded Jackass's firearm for him? Did she write down a grocery list for him to go to the kosher deli with? I guess I have to accompany this with the caveat that I'm not defending her, although being one of those rule of law people, I do believe she is probably entitled to a defense. And if she is to be captured, if it should turn out that she is captured, and we know I'm not a praying person, right? But if she is captured, I just pray that she's not captured by us. And you know why, right? Because Dick Cheney will fly to wherever she is to try to at least, maybe he can get his gimp mask out and sort of enjoy the torture vicariously. Because we would torture her. Remember, we're a nation that tortures. And if you think we quit torturing just because we got a Kenyan Muslim usurper in the White House, do we have a women's wing at Guantanamo Bay? I know we've had some children there. Yeah. Oh, and this was interesting. I saw a clip earlier today where, and I just kind of had a moment of, huh? So Jackass. I can't even remember his name. And frankly, may his name simply be forgotten. May no one ever know that he walked upon this planet. This murderer. But I saw, and of course they never include the audio, because it's in French, and, well, we don't, what did the lady up there in New York City who's in charge of 9,000 students in 32 charter schools say? We don't do foreign languages very good. So you didn't get to hear the audio, but what I found interesting was the fact that his crudely fashioned Islamic State flag had been blurred out. As if the American people can't even see such a thing now. And with the march having taken place yesterday, the hissy was on by this morning. I had to go and... it's like this every time, and it's not like I've got a choice of somewhere else to go. I had to go down and get blood drawn. Because, you know, what with the statin that I'm on, we're keeping a close eye on my liver numbers. Hoping not to set it afire. And I walk in, and is it the Weather Channel? No. Is it Turner Classic Movies? Who are you kidding?
Is it a test pattern? Sorry. Oh, no. It's Fox freaking News. And, of course, the jackasses on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda are pontificating, fulminating, if you will, about what a failure and what a shame and disgrace it is that the President of the United States didn't go and lock arms and march in the streets of Paris. Or why didn't we send Joe Biden? Well, Eric Holder was there. Oh, but he didn't go and march. Gotta march. And I just stopped to think for a minute. And this is one of those moments of right-wing media mind control where you know how it is that they do what they do. How they do that hoodoo that they do so well. What does it take to get the President of the United States anywhere? Jesus, the President of the United States went book shopping at a bookstore in D.C., and because he's the President of the United States, and because there's all kinds of right-wing terrorists all over the United States who would like to, they've been praying their imprecatory prayers, let his children grow up without a father, let his wife be a widow. You know, that loving stuff from Psalms. So you've got to have a phalanx of Secret Service agents to go to a damn bookstore. It takes a convoy that would make C.W. McCall blush to get him across town. How many jets does it take when he flies somewhere? Because the advance team has to show up. And they have to inspect the plumbing and the wiring and everything before he even gets there. And I mean, there's cars and there's, you know, there's the presidential limousine and then there's the identical other presidential limousine, the decoy. And nobody ever knows which one the president's in, right? Ixnay on the ecoy day, bay. Those are 8-day ecret says. No, not really. But none of that occurs to the Gubernati over there at Shea Rupert. Nope. He's just embarrassed us again. When, of course, you know that had he actually gotten on the plane and said, "I believe that it is important that I show solidarity with the French people. They are our oldest and nearest and dearest allies. There would be no United States but for the French." What would they have been saying this morning on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda? "That one in our White House is bankrupting the nation, taking a 2-day trip to Paris just to walk in the streets on a ceremony." Right? Is there any doubt, please? Yeah. So that was my morning. And I got to tell you, it's tough when Monday morning starts with the Thorazine Jones. It really is. I just walked in the door and was like, "Oh, screw this. I'm going home now." No, I had to sit around and listen to the stupid. And the other part, I don't like being a jackass. So, what do you do when a sweet little old lady turns around and says, "Do you go to church?" "Well, no, ma'am." Ron asking, "Did the blood tech? You mean the phlebotomist? Did the blood tech get worried when your blood started boiling? It came out smoking." But that could also have been a grease fire based upon the triglycerides and the cholesterol in my system. Yeah. But what do you do when the little old... Do you go to church? Is this one of those little white lie moments? Because I know,
I know the answer. Oh, yes, ma'am. Every Sunday, every time they open the doors, I'm there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesdays, and sometimes I just have to break the lock on the place just to get in on a Tuesday because I'm feeling particularly sinful. No. Oh, really? Which one? First Tabernacle of God the Disinterested. Oh, they have a lovely choir. No. Do you go to church? No, ma'am, I don't. Well, I'll invite you to my church. We have a professional choir director. I'm just sitting there. Don't do it, Bob. Don't do it. She's just a sweet thing. You don't have to. They probably got a good fellowship hall. They can cook. Just nod. And that's what I did. I nodded and smiled. Lovely. Yeah. That was my morning. And the whole day seems to have been consumed with this stuff. Carol pointing out, by the way, that the brand new cover. Oh, Charlie Hebdo. Under the masthead, it simply says, "All is forgiven." And it shows in cartoon form a Muslim holding a sign that says, "I am Charlie." Carol says, "I'm thinking the terrorists," and that's terrorists, "are going to hate that." Probably. And then there was the critique of, why are the French pursuing this as a law enforcement matter when clearly Western civilization is under attack? Oh, F me. And then, and there's a photograph of all the marchers, all the marching heads of state, Mahmoud Abbas on one end, and even though he'd been asked to, please, really, no, you don't have to show up. Stay away. It's okay. Everybody will understand. Benjamin Netanyahu on the other. So all of these heads of state show up in support of free speech. Which part would have sounded better with the reverb, Gerald? That would have sounded better with the reverb, Bob. Jared Keller, writing at world.mike.com. Millions of people took to the streets of Paris and cities across France on Sunday to rally in defense of free speech and... Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Gerald, thank you. Western civilization is... under attack! All better now, Gerald? Thank you. Yeah, good idea. Well, hell. Wolverines! Which, by the way, was on television last night. And if you follow my Facebook page, you'll note that our buddy Ron put it up for people to, and with little critiques rolling along, like, how did the Cubans get, and this was the original really bad, stupid movie, not the remake bad, stupider movie. How did the Cubans, with their tanks, get all the way to Nebraska without any teenagers ever hearing about it? Well, you know, it was the 1980s, and we didn't have the interweb tubes, and those kids weren't all networked and everything back then. You know, one day you're just playing for your local Nebraska high school football team, and next thing you know, there's Cuban tanks in your driveway. Right. Anyway, 3.7 million people marched throughout France. And Jared Keller writes, adding to the symbolic weight of the demonstrations, more than 40 world leaders joined the start of the Paris March, linking arms in an act of solidarity. But as Reporters Without Borders points out, their policies at home are far from compatible with the solidarity for free speech on display throughout France. The organization said Sunday that it was, quote, appalled by the presence of leaders from countries where journalists and bloggers are systematically persecuted, such as Egypt, which is ranked 159th out of 180 countries in Reporters Without Borders Press Freedom Index, Russia, 148th, Turkey, 154th,
and the United Arab Emirates 118th.
Yeah, so in many ways it was a march of at least the, not the ordinary people who took to the streets and said, we will not be silenced, we will not be cowed, but yeah, and then there's the United States, who, thanks to WikiLeaks and the information therein contained, we now know actually targeted journalists in Iraq. You know, in your name. Killed him. Dead. Right. A human being is rotting away in prison for letting us know that. Yes. Daniel Wickham is the London School for Economics Middle East Society co-president. A young fella. So here are some of the staunch, and he just tweeted him to pieces. Here are some of the staunch defenders of the free press attending the Solidarity rally in Paris today. King Abdullah of Jordan, which last year sentenced a Palestinian journalist to 15 years in prison with hard labor. Mm-hmm. Prime Minister Davutoglu of Turkey, which imprisons more journalists than any other country in the world. Oh, this is impressive already. Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, whose forces killed 7 journalists in Gaza last year, second highest after Syria. Right. Foreign Minister Shukri of Egypt, which, as well as Al Jazeera staff, has detained journalist Shokhan for around 500 days. Foreign Minister Lavrov of Russia, which last year jailed a journalist for insulting a government servant. Foreign Minister Lamra of Algeria, which has detained journalist Abdesami Abdelhai for 15 months without charges. Foreign Minister of the UAE, which in 2013 held a journo incommunicado for a month on suspicion of MB links. Prime Minister Joma of Tunisia, which recently jailed blogger Yassine Aryan for 3 years for defaming the army. The Prime Ministers of Georgia and Bulgaria, both of whom have a record of attacking and beating journalists. The Attorney General of the U.S., where police in Ferguson have recently detained and assaulted Washington Post reporters. Prime Minister Samaras of Greece, where riot police beat and injured 2 journalists at a protest in June last year. Secretary General of NATO, who are yet to be held account for deliberately bombing and killing 16 Serbian journalists in 1999. President Keita of Mali, where journalists are expelled for covering human rights abuses. The foreign minister of Bahrain, second biggest jailer of journos in the world per capita, they also torture them. Sheikh Mohammed bin Hamad bin Khalifa Al Thani of Qatar, which jailed a man for 15 years for writing the Jasmine poem. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, who had several journalists jailed for insulting him in 2013. Well, look, Abbas and Netanyahu do have something in common. Isn't that charming? Maybe they can have brunch. Prime Minister Sarar of Slovenia, which sentenced a blogger to 6 months in prison for defamation in 2013. Prime Minister Enda Kenny of Ireland, where blasphemy is considered a criminal offense. Prime Minister Kapach of Poland, which raided a magazine to seize recordings embarrassing for the ruling party. Prime Minister Cameron of the UK, where authorities destroyed documents obtained by The Guardian and threatened prosecution. Saudi ambassador to France. The Saudis publicly flogged blogger Raif Badawi for insulting Islam on Friday. Mm-hmm. Really, they did. Those are our friends, the Saudis. Remember, for those of you who are trying to keep track at home, and I know it's difficult, those are the good head loppers, our buddies, the Saudis. Well, hell, they cut the price of gasoline and everything. I mean, gas down below $1. I don't care who the hell they beat up as long as gas is cheap, right? Am I right? Yeah. So, you know, that's the solidarity, at least at the front of the march, that was on display. pardon me if I'm not particularly impressed. Oh, dear, it's a Bob email from Ron and Raleigh. Bob. By God, man, haven't you heard of guilt by association? Our greatest ally in the Middle East, Israel, do it all the time. Yeah, they do, don't they? Going back to Hayat Boumediene, Tim from L.A. says she's a terrorist suspect because most of the terrorist suspects in Gitmo aren't. So the reason why she's a terrorist suspect is because, well, you know, she's a Muslim. And it's kind of hard to escape that conclusion that Tim makes, because I've been trying to follow it, but has anybody anywhere mentioned because the hunt's still on. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's a very desperate manhunt, the guy who tried to pipe bomb the NAACP chapter in Colorado Springs, Colorado, which should be under the veil of God Almighty's protection, because after all, they got a lot. I mean, well, hell, they got Chappie Gordon Klingenschmidt there. Maybe the NAACP isn't beating enough transgender children to qualify for God's protection. Remember, Chappie Klingenschmidt headed for the Colorado legislature. He wants all the sissy beaten out of the transgender children, so they'll never want to go potty in the wrong restroom. But no, has anybody referred to that guy as a terrorist yet? Because if they have, I missed it. And if they have, I want to note with no small amount of shock that somebody is actually describing this white guy who tried to bomb an NAACP chapter as a terrorist. Because it don't happen much. Oh, yeah, I neglected to mention something. Ron points it out. Only 950 lashes to go. That Saudi blogger only has 950 lashes to go, 50 a week for another 19 weeks. Hey, maybe he'll even survive. Look, he's not getting his head lopped off. He's got nothing to complain about. I mean, what's a lash or two among friends? Does that give you an idea of where the evening kind of stands? And we haven't even gotten to the feature. Because remember, I actually had a clip rolling here. This was a long damn digression. Yeah, Ron pointing out, the Wahhabi fundamentalists in Saudi Arabia are a bigger threat than the Taliban, ISIS, or Al-Qaeda. I'm just saying. Well, yeah, they are. And see, that's the deal we make with Saudi Arabia. The royal family kind of keeps them in check by only letting them terrorize the Saudi populace most of the time. Yeah. So back to the clip. Fox explaining the nature of the French. Just listen.
He's also now being linked by prosecutors in the shooting of a jogger. Meanwhile, European leaders right now gathering in Paris for a unity conference. Thousands of police and soldiers deployed, more than 50 global leaders trying to keep things safe in the streets of Paris. Our own Attorney General Eric Holder attending an international conference there. He says the U.S. still has, quote, no credible information to determine who is behind these attacks. Joining me right now is South Carolina Senator.
Wait. Okay, you know what's coming, but why would Attorney General Eric Holder, who is not the Attorney General of France, who does not prosecute cases in France, who is not leading the investigation of the murders in France, why would Attorney General Holder have credible information as to who done it? Surprised they even got through a reference to Attorney General Eric Holder without bringing in what's her name, Andrea Tarantula, or whatever, to talk about how he runs the Department of Justice like the Black Panthers. But anyway, guess who's about to come and and fulminate. Do you reckon they had the smelling salts handy?
Lindsey Graham, who sits on the Senate Armed Services Committee. And, Senator, it is good to have you on the program this morning.
Great. To Eric Holder, there's a lot of credible information that the people behind these attacks are radical Islamists who've been involved in the fight for years. One of them went to jail for flowing fighters into Iraq. So this is not a mystery. Attorney General Holder, we know exactly what's going on here.
Well, who knew? My goodness gracious, who ever could have known that Senator Lindsey Graham was a French inspector? I mean, we all know he's a determined judge advocate general in the Air Force. But I had no idea that he was also Inspector Clouseau. Oh, we're not even to the good part of the panic yet.
It is quite extraordinary, actually. I mean, we know
it's
we do
ridiculous.
Have evidence. Why would he say there's no credible evidence?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea what.
He has no idea because, after all, if Lindsey Graham was there, being the Attorney General, why he'd be on the ground personally investigating with his personal investigation van that has the personal fainting couch in it and the personal smelling salts. Probably have John McCain along just in case anything got dicey, so he'd have somebody to run and leap into his arms. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes, Carol Baker, yes. Round up the usual suspects. Oh, goodness God.
The President of the United States won't call this a religious war when the President of Egypt does. Our strategy to combat radical Islam.
Wait a damn minute. You mean that Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, won't call this a religious war when George was starting his war against Iraq? He called it a religious war. He called it a crusade. Yes. Crusade, meaning to be marked with the cross in warfare so that whatever butchery one commits is automatically forgiven. Jeebus just sitting up there in his little throne said, look at that. How's about it? Look at, did you see him gig that little baby girl with his big old sword? He's forgiven. Mm-hmm. George Bush called it a crusade, and look how well that worked out, calling it a religious war. So for Lindsey, it has to be a war of the powers of Christian civilization against the Muslims. It's a war against Islam. What a dumbass! Really? You want to declare a religious war, Lindsey? Well, I just want any old kind of war. I do love the look of a uniform. And maybe if I get to be president, I'll declare a religious war, and we'll have all them men's only clubs in there, and I'll consult with them. Yes, I will. Men's only. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, John. I'm just fooling.
Miss Failing, President Obama's worldview has been, I don't want to be George Bush. Radical.
Who would? Is that where we are now? It is, because I don't think I mentioned the date because we were late getting started. It is the 12th day of January, 2015, and you just heard it. That one in our White House is now being criticized for not wanting to be George Bush. When in point of fact, a whole lot of the so-called left, thinks he is George Bush with a tan. Bush the darker. Just go read around. You'll find it.
Islam has risen in the last 3 or 4 years on his watch, pulling our troops out of Iraq against sound military advice, allowed Al-Qaeda in Iraq to rise again to become ISIL, not supporting the Free Syrian Army 3 or 4 years ago when it would matter. Taking Gaddafi down without dealing with the militias has been a perfect storm to lead the rise of radical Islam all over the world, and I put it at the feet of our president.
Wait. John, I don't understand. Why did he have to take down that nice man, Gaddafi?
It always seemed like a perfectly reasonable fella to me.
You realize that if Lindsey Graham Cracker was in charge, do you realize that we would have to draft every human being in the United States into the military to deal with all the wars he wants to fight? He wants to fight in Syria. He wants to fight in Egypt. He wants to fight in Iran. He wants to go back into Iraq. He wants to fight all over North Africa.
Well, as long as I'm not doing the fighting, mind you. I'll just be back here at Terra, making the juleps and the flaming rum punch, and I do mean flaming, for when the boys come back marching home. Yes.
And yet, Eric Holder is the person that the president decided to send into the middle of all of this. Why?
Because he happened to already be over there.
That choice is also a question.
Well, last time I checked, we're at war. I wouldn't send my attorney general.
Senator Graham Cracker, we are not at war. Because if you will read that Constitution you are so fond of citing to, but apparently have never so much as even perused, you will find out, Senator, that war declaring is the province of the Congress, the House, and the Senate. And you will find that there has been no war declared by the Congress since long about 1941, about December 8th, as a matter of fact, if memory serves me. Mm-hmm. That's when great-grandmother Graham Cracker was out there being Rosie the Riveter. Yes.
This goes on at length. I don't know if he gets around to saying, he's going to get us all killed. Note coming in from Steve, he says, just had to say, 50 world leaders in Paris to keep the streets safe? Free subscription to the superheroes comic book of your choice if you can guess who the 50 safest people on the streets of Paris are right now. No fair asking any one of their 500 security personnel, though. Gotta love the eternal resonance of political rhetoric. Regards, Steve in China. Good question, Carol. Exactly how many times can Lindsey claim, Atlanta is burning, Rayet! John! Oh, fiddle-dee-dee. Yeah. Do continue, Lindsey, if you've got the strength to go on.
Our president to deal with radical Islamic terrorists. This is an international war. It's a global war. We don't have a strategy. I hope the Congress will do a global risk assessment about how many groups are out there and what kind of comprehensive strategy we can come up with to defeat them. The Attorney General is a law enforcement officer, and it says all you need to know about Obama's view of this conflict. He thinks it's a crime out of control. I think it's a war out of control.
All silly accents aside, this man will not be happy until the entire world is on fire. He wants the entire world burning like Atlanta. And to what end? What does Lindsey Graham get out of it if we can ship a few more boxes full of the last mortal remains, a few thousand maybe tens of thousands if Lindsey gets his way, boxes of the last mortal remains of the sons and daughters, fathers, brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, mommies, daddies, neighbors, back to the USA.
Well, they fought for freedom.
Senator, let me ask you to comment on what's happening right now in Paris. We've got more than 50 leaders throughout Europe. The president, of course, is not there. But what is the impact, do you think, of all of these leaders getting together and march against what happened this past week?
Well, symbolically, it's a good thing to tell the terrorists we're not going to bend to your will. They're trying to replace our way of life with theirs. But this means nothing if it's not followed up with a coherent strategy to defeat ISIL and ISIS, deal with the AQAP. So if it's a rally that doesn't translate into a strategy, to our French friends, you withdrew from Afghanistan early. Think about sending thousands of troops into Afghanistan to hold on to the gains we've had. The air campaign we have against ISIL in Iraq and Syria needs to be supplemented with a ground campaign. If you really want to make a difference, go into Iraq and Syria with an international coalition on the ground and destroy these guys. Every day they're allowed to survive is the day that we can get hit. So if this doesn't translate into a coherent, aggressive strategy to...
What? Have y'all chewed through the hockey pucks yet?
Because I'm just lining up the little Thorazine darts in front of me, like they're shots on a bar. Carol pointing out, killing 1.6 billion Muslims is kind of expensive and time consuming. What does he really want? Carpet bombing of entire swaths of the world? Yes.
And I want to watch them all. I like to watch.
Well, bet you do, Lindsay. If an ordinary citizen was running around saying this shit, we probably would have the Thorazine darts out, wouldn't we? What does the rest of the world think when they hear this? Well, okay, we know what some of the rest of the world thinks. Marine Le Pen, the woman who's the head of the, for all intents and purposes, fascist movement in France, she's like, yeah, bring it on. We're down with some of this. Let's get our genocide on. Because that's what this asshole is talking about. And I have no problem referring to Lindsey Graham as an asshole. Because anybody who wants to start World War III has pretty well earned it, hasn't he? Damn.
Win in Syria and Iraq is just a feel-good exercise.
I don't want to ask you more about that strategy and also get your take on the new Congress's priorities. So stay with us, Senator. More with Senator Lindsey Graham. But first, these heinous attacks in France renewing concern.
Oh, shut up. Go and change your armor.
That being his first.
He's back. I just get tired of the bloodthirstiness. We could be hit at any time. He's going to get us all killed. All of us. We, all of us, could be hit at any time. You know what? We could not all, any of us, be hit by lightning at any time. Certain conditions have to obtain before lightning can strike, like the presence of a storm with sufficient power to generate lightning. Lindsey Graham lives to terrorize the American population. The nonagenarians and octogenarians who watch Fox were probably crushing up nitroglycerin pills for the refreshing burst of flavor. Just listening to all this. We could be hit any time.
Has no one told Senator Graham that this was specifically an attack on a journalistic operation with whom these people, by whom these people felt aggrieved? It's, I mean, we had the same sort of thing after September 11th, 2001. You had Arlie and Marveline out there in flyover country convinced that Osama bin Laden was going to drag his portable dialysis unit right over there to Donut Center. It's a hole. And leave their local Wally World a heap of smoking rubble because they love freedom and bin Laden didn't. And he hated us for our Wally Worlds. When in point of fact, you know, and we're staying out of the whole 9/11 thing. We're just treating it. They sent a letter explaining why they did what they did. They struck at the Pentagon. They struck at the World Trade Center. Because those were the two loci of the expression of American economic and military power and abuse. And to think for one instant that these assholes were somehow high level operatives in AQAP. What is that? Al Qaeda Associated Press? No. Arabian Peninsula. You know, Al Qaeda Yemen and ISIS. No. And then there was the ongoing discussion of, well, how do you suppose he became a member of ISIL? He downloaded the stupid flag and printed it off of his printer and hung it on a goddamn bedsheet. That's how. You don't even have to send in box tops from Jihad Jolly's breakfast cereal to get your certificate suitable for framing in your secret goddamn decoder ring. You just sit around and decide that you're pissed off. Oof. And this is the state of American for-profit media journalism. Back to you, Lindsay. Oh, God, why do I do this to us?
Thank you very much. More now with Senator Lindsey Graham joining us live. And, Senator, you just said that we need to see a real strategy, groundswell strategy in Iraq and Syria. Can you walk us through that? What should that look like?
Well, number one, we should stop letting people out of Gitmo.
Oh, me. Really, Carol? Really?
Carol, with a secret communique. I got my decoder ring, and the secret message was, Allahu Akbar. Mm-mm. It's more dangerous than I thought. God.
68 of the 132 people at Guantanamo Bay come from Yemen. So the president's desire to...
Wait, 68 of the 132 people come from Yemen? Are 68 of the 132 people, have they ever had a trial? Have they ever been proven? Have they ever been charged with actually participating in terrorism? Or are they? Or is in fact the majority of those 132 people there in no wise associated with terrorism? Well, I mean, they weren't associated with terrorism, but now that we've tortured them for, 12 years, they might not like us so good. Oh, okay. Never mind that Allahu Akbar part there. Carol was using her secret Jihad Jolly's breakfast cereal decoder ring wrong. No, wait, she says, I got it wrong. It said, drink more Ovaltine.
and Lindsey, God, drink more of it. I hate Ovaltine. I don't care how many different flavors they come out with. It's still going to suck. Well, there went the Ovaltine contract. Lindsey Graham wants a coherent strategy for dealing with violence in the Middle East. I've got one. Let's turn off our terrorist-making machine. Let's assume that there's a number out there. And that number is the number of people in the Middle East who hated our ever-loving guts before 2003. Now, let's assume there's another number out there, and that number is established after, say, Halloween 2004, after we'd killed our first million innocent civilians. What kind of exponential factor do you have to apply to whatever number A was to get number B? You see, it's not like people... Look, the world is the same the world over. Most of us get up in the morning, like to have a bite to eat or whatever it is we do for... Because, like, for instance, breakfast in Vietnam is wildly different from breakfast here. From breakfast in Mexico, from breakfast in France, where one may argue that their occasionally unstable politics stems from the fact that they drink strong coffee and bread and call that breakfast. But never mind. You kidding? French pastry? French bread? I don't mean like French bread. Oh, never mind. They have real bakeries in Europe that don't have GMO flour in it. But everybody just wants to get on with their lives because we all, and whether you're religious or not, mostly we want to do the best we can with what time we have. Some have more, some have less. But we'd like to smile along the way. We'd like to think we made things a little bit better while we were here. And we'd really like to not have Hellfire missiles, for instance, shot into our wedding parties. But see, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula doesn't Hellfire missile Afghan wedding parties. We do. If you want to deal with the problem of terror and violence in the Middle East, stop perpetrating it. As I said many, many, many years ago, if you would like for people to stop thinking you're evil, you need to stop doing evil things. And attacking countries, for instance, that have never attacked you, is an evil thing. Starting a war that kills over a million innocent civilians, that's one-sixth of a Hitler, who had 7:42 p.m., by the way, is an evil thing. Via Carol, a quote from Noam Chomsky, everybody's worried about stopping terrorism. Well, there's a really easy way. Stop participating in it. And remember, if you were watching the for-profit media, and I'm sorry, I just have to get all this off my chest. If you were watching the for-profit media this weekend, and I was, I am guilty, I'm a moron, I watched long enough to find out that the adverb budget has been apparently slashed at CNN because now poor Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer are having to share the use of only a single adverb, brutal, that's an adjective, and an adverb, brutally. That's all they got. They were killed brutally. The kosher grocery store was attacked brutally. Wait, really, Jake? Can't we have a goddamn prepositional phrase once in a while? Nope, just adverbs. We're poor. But it's all the for-profit media could talk about. And it's all they've been talking about since Wednesday. And who is the single, I just ask this, disagree if you wish, who is the single greatest beneficiary of all of this coverage? Do you think the news consuming, if to the extent that this is news, do you think the news consuming public of the United States of America didn't understand what happened within, I mean, what more do you, oh, look, some assholes attacked a magazine in France. How many did they kill? They killed 12. That's Jesus. But who's the single biggest beneficiary of that? It's not the news-consuming public. Granted, there are revenues to be had in the for-profit media. That's why it's the for-profit media. Ads to be run. Somebody's got a job crafting stunning martial music. Somebody's got another job creating really, really inspiring patriotic graphics. A lot of jobs in that. But who's the single greatest beneficiary of all of this chatter? Everybody, please look at your bingo cards. If you have Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula and ISIL, you win! Get one of these. Whatever happened to just ignore him and he'll go away? Well, I suspect they won't go away. But France seems to be going about this the right way. And the right wing are going to have an absolute purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy and kittens with crocheted tails if France doesn't just completely lock itself down in a hunkered-up hissy, straining like they're trying to, like a dog trying to pass a peach pit. And, of course, a secondary beneficiary, as noted, fascism in Europe. Democracy, there's no payoff. Secular government, not much of a payoff. Education, there's nothing going on in the for-profit media that it was even remotely educational. But now, if you've got some crackpot with a gun... And by the way, that's out there, too. You know, if France didn't take away all its guns, those people in that grocery store probably wouldn't have got killed and had to hide in the refrigerator. And by God, if everybody had a gun at Charlie Hebdo, we'd been having funerals for them two moose limbs. God bless the NRA. I've got a strong inclination. And I'm done with Lindsey Graham. I wish the world was, too, but oh well. I've got a strong inclination to move away from this story unless there's more that you want to talk to in regard to it. The lines are open. We'll take a little break here in a minute. I've been filibustering for an hour and about an hour and a half now. Sorry about that. Whatever you want to talk about, the lines are open, 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN,
or, that's the Gizmo line, or 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178 is how you reach the program. Skype to Skype, of course, is just Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. Carol pointing out, if 3.7 million Americans took to the streets for a goddamn thing here, the full armed forces would be called out to stop the unrest. Right, because if 3.7 million Americans took to the streets, it would be de facto unrest. The only time in the near future when that many, and I think as expressed as a ratio of the French population to the American population, it would have to be something more on the order of like 16 million Americans. The only thing that's going to get 16 million Americans in the streets is if all the cable goes out. Yeah. And Lord knows Fox News TV Radio Rwanda was trying to get that incited. Yes, indeed. Oh, Lord, yes. With their stupid little ad running during the football game yesterday. They're being censored! Twits. So, yeah, a little break coming up. Light up the phones. We got the 304-574-8178 line has somebody on it, but the Gizmo line is open. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. think Don Henley should redo that song for the modern age and call it Bloody Laundry. But ultimately, there's a central truth in there. In the end, we haven't told you anything. Yep. Hey, let's run over to the phones. I think that's News Ninja Carol Baker. Hey, Carol.
Hey there. I want to redo the Queen song. We will rock you to we will mock you.
That's good. That's
isn't
good.
That good?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I didn't realize it. I just saw the cover. That's not just any generic Muslim on the new Charlie Hebdo cover.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I know. I wanted people to figure part of it out for themselves.
Oh, there you go giving again.
I know. I just, you know. But listen, this is a real quick call because I just, in case anybody was frustrated with the whole thing about all of the Muslims should stand up and apologize.
Oh, Jesus.
Every time you turn around, the Muslims should stand up and apologize. And I got this great clip from British radio. And this guy named Richard calls in, and he's like, well, I think that all the Muslims should stand up and apologize. And the guy's like, why should they apologize?
Why?
And he says, well, for the fundamentalists and the terrorism. And he goes, yeah, but they didn't do it. It was just, you know, the fundamentalist. It wasn't 1.6 billion Muslims. It was five people. He goes, well, I know, but I think they should apologize. And he goes, wait a minute, what's your name again? He goes, Richard. He goes, wait a minute. He goes, the shoe bomber's name was Richard. He says,
oh, that's beautiful.
Have you apologized for that yet? And the guy goes, apologize? Why should I apologize? I didn't have anything to do with it. And he said, well, I believe I no longer trust anyone named Richard because the shoe bomber was named Richard. Are you going to apologize? And it just got funnier from there because this guy was, like, so obtuse. And any sane person listening to it got it immediately.
Well, you can make a nice long list, too, Carol. Have all the American militia members apologized for Timothy McVeigh? Oh, wait, they agree with him.
I haven't seen Joel Osteen or John Hagee or anybody else apologize for the for any of the bombings of the churches back in the civil rights.
Has the Klan gotten around to apologizing for the bombing for whoever it was that bombed the Colorado Springs NAACP office?
Well, I would have thought that the Trinity Broadcasting Network would have been 24-hour loop of apologizing.
Now there is a difference, though, and I want to draw this distinction. These assholes in France, and is it okay that I don't want to give them names. Is it okay that we just refer to them as these assholes in France?
Oh, I'm good with it.
Okay. These assholes in France that killed people.
Yeah.
They did so out of some sense of grievance. Okay. But the Muslim world owes no apology on their behalf.
Not at all.
Because it was not done. I mean, they were not consulted.
No.
On the other hand, no matter how strenuously we objected, and I did. I've got it. You know, I've got an online archive that shows how strenuously I objected. The United States of America owes a profound and deep and heartfelt and sincere apology to, say, the people of Iraq.
I'd say.
Because that was done in our names.
Yeah.
Wasn't Richard B. Dick big time before he dicks you, Cheney? Wasn't he given a chance to apologize? And he said, hell no, I'd torture him some more. I kind of got off on it.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to torture him twice. Or 234 times in the case of that one guy.
Yeah. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed?
Yeah, that's the guy.
The guy whose brains have been turned to just a gelatinous mush.
Pudding, yeah.
Yeah, the guy who got on the waterboard when they snapped their fingers after they had wrecked his mind long enough?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
Because it's so fun. But yeah, this whole demanding an apology thing. And then, you know, and I get that Fox News doesn't have a let's tone down the rhetoric button. I get that. But when they put guys on, like they had this weekend, they had that former Marine that eerily reminds me of Timothy McVeigh. He's the guy who's like saying, you know, we need to stop appeasing Muslims and exterminate this scum that plagues the planet. And they're sitting there rooting him on Fox. This was the guy that wrote that long, scathing letter to ISIS saying, I'll come kill you.
Yeah. Yeah, by myself. I can do it with a knife and a rock.
But, you know, here, these are the guys that inflame Uncle Cletus to go out and shoot the first turban-wearing Sikh he can find because he's too fucking stupid to know that Sikhs aren't Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, treating innocent, law-abiding American citizens who just happen to be Muslims is not appeasement. I call it defending someone's civil rights. And I don't think you can identify scum on sight unless you're just looking at the lineup of the guests on Fox. But other than that, I generally can't.
Well, I got a question here.
Sure.
And you reckon we can get an apology? And this is just a couple of minutes, and I won't interrupt it. You reckon we can get an apology from all the Christians in the world for this?
I'm going to suggest something to you, and this is just for your thinking. Now, I know there's liable to be a lot of blowback from this, and I want to mention that right up front.
Blow me.
And I'm not saying that this is what I believe. I'm not saying that. But it's striking to me that if you look at the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, and, you know, this is a commandment that's never been rescinded, still in force today. He says, God speaking through Moses, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, that's what this magazine, Charlie Hebdo, they made a career out of taking the name of God, the God of the Bible, the Father of the Lord Jesus. They made a career. They made their bones out of taking his name in vain.
Well, wait just a damn minute. Charlie Hebdo's published in French, and I don't think they ever published the word goddamn not once.
Not once.
But okay, so this is Brian Fisher, proud son of Stanford.
I know.
And he's not quite done yet. Hockey pucks. It's all hockey. You know, I think, Carol, we should probably make the hockey puck warning mandatory just for the entirety of Moran Monday, don't you?
I'd like to order some foam hockey pucks because, seriously, I'm starting to look like the natives.
And you mean the Hootervillians?
Yeah.
Okay, so strap in. We got a little more to go.
All right.
Now listen to what God says next. Okay, you're not supposed to take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Well, if you do, whose responsibility is it to deal with that?
Question. And this is a fine point. But let's say you're a person who believes in prayer.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know about that.
I know, me neither. But let's say there's a realm of stuff that I think is acceptable to pray for. Dear sweet baby Jesus, please help my little daughter get over the croup. Can we agree that this is outside the scientific inquiry as to whether or not there's any effectiveness to it? But that's
correct.
Acceptable prayer material, right?
I find it acceptable.
Dear sweet baby Jesus, please help me preserve my marriage.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Dear sweet baby Jesus, please bring peace to the world.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Dear sweet baby Jesus, please help me win the lottery.
Fuck you.
Right. Now, isn't that taking the Lord's... I mean, isn't that the essence as opposed to, you know, you hit... You're nailing, whacking, and you miss and thumb and... God damn it! As opposed to that, isn't praying to win the lottery taking the Lord's name in vain? Isn't that the kind of stuff that'll get you taken outside the city gates and stoned to death?
Well, I think it'll get your ass kicked a little, at least.
All I said... Well, we'd had a lovely dinner, and all I said was... Wife, that piece of alibit was good enough for Jehovah. There, he said it again! So, Brian Fisher, every time he opens his mouth, it's one of these moments.
And blasphemy isn't saying, God damn it. Blasphemy is denying that God exists at all, if you know better.
Right.
If you think you know better.
But, taking the Lord's name in vain...
Taking the Lord's name in vain is denying him if you believe in him.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Exactly.
Inigo always comes in handy.
Thank you, Inigo Montoya.
You killed my father. Prepare to die. I really do, Carol. I love it when people go to meetings where you have to wear the Hello, My Name Is tags. And they write Inigo Montoya.
Yes.
That's funny.
I saw a coffee cup with that on there.
It's more fun when you... Next time you get to go to a meeting of the Hooterville Civic Improvement and Chamber of Commerce meeting, just try that.
Yeah. They'll want to know if I got married.
Get a Mr. Montoya. Okay, so back to Brian Fisher just for a second.
Lord will not hold him guiltless who uses his name in vain. The Lord himself will not hold guiltless him who takes his name in vain. Now, you look at the Old Testament, what happened to Judah, and God used a pagan nation. I mean, he used idolaters. He used the savage armies of Babylon to discipline his own people. He brought them in as the rod of his wrath to discipline the nation of Judah. They even got carted off to Babylon as a part of his punishment. So he used this pagan, foreign, evil, malicious, wicked nation as a rod of correction and as a rod of discipline for the people of Judah.
You know, at least they got carted off to Babylon. They didn't have to walk. It's a fur piece, Carol.
There's no bus?
Well, the ox cart.
The Judea bus?
Yeah. But, no, so the question is, I want to know, because that's pretty hateful business, when you've just had 12 people gunned down in a newspaper office, that's pretty ugly. And I don't care if you say this is not what I believe, but it's the use of that disjunctive but that lets you know it really is what he believes. I want to know, I want to know why the Christians have not apologized for that level of hatefulness. In fact, I want to know why the Christians don't just have a every day right after he signs off the air, all the Christians have to stand up and say, we're sorry, he's a dick.
Because in America, that sort of hatred is considered socially acceptable.
Socially acceptable? My ass, Carol. It's constitutionally protected.
You and I both know that, but they have an entirely different reading of the Constitution. They believe in white Jesus and a Republican Bible that has books in it like First Cletus and...
Yeah, I know. And over in the New Testament, Flip-Floppians.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And they love the Old Testament parts that they can lay on other people, but not the parts, not the Levitical stuff that would nail them. That's different.
Yeah, it's a good thing that the listening audience is not bigger for this program than what it is, because I'd get myself in terrible trouble because I'm just going to say this. If some assholes like the ones in France decided to go and deal with Brian Fisher, because he's got a rich body of work. in which he says things about Muslims and about Muhammad that are a hell of a lot worse than anything Charlie Hebdo ever published. Okay, I'm going to say this.
Good.
You promise you won't hate me?
I won't hate you.
Okay. If they decided to take issue with Brian Fisher, I wouldn't be real broke up about it. Now, the question is, would 3.7 million Americans then get in the streets carrying cards, signs saying, I am the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan?
Hardly.
I mean, is that a radical and lonely position that I'm taking there?
No, because they don't get out and do anything. They sit on social media and run their mouths. They go to they stand in line at Chick-fil-A. It has to be a very passive resistance that involves drive-through windows and fake screen names.
And preferably people weaker than them.
Well, that always helps.
By the way, just one other thing to share with you before we go. You said it was going to be a short call, and then of course
it is.
I can't let you have a short call. I enjoy this too much.
You can.
You know who Ron Johnson is, right? This is totally off topic.
Ron Johnson?
Mm-hmm. My name is Ron Johnson. I come from Wisconsin. I am a senator there.
That Ron Johnson.
Yeah, the one that Hillary just made a complete. Well, he was a self-made ass. But she shone a light on him. So, Ron Johnson decided to do a little speechifying and explain to folks what it is. He's got a plan. He's a Republican senator with a real jobs plan, Carol. Strap in. Just saying.
Does it involve coal mines and children?
No, he's from Wisconsin. You might want to strap in and get the U-shaped dart gun out, because it'll feel so much better when he's done.
I went ahead and gave it a shot anyway.
Yeah, okay, so here we go, I hope.
Oh, it's better already, Bob.
Yeah.
And one of the first people I met on the campaign trail was a state senator. His entire stump speech talked about a single mom working hard. I mean, we all have a great deal of sympathy for her. She makes $15,000 part-time. Doesn't pay tax. She gets the earned income tax credit. Then he totals up the dollar value for benefits. His figure came about $51,000. I've kind of gone back. I calculated about $43,000. I asked my audience, now if she wants to increase her take-home pay, what does she do? She has another child out of wedlock, right? If she wants to lose it all, she finds somebody to support her, and she gets married.
Told you.
Well, you know how I love it when guys mansplain economics to poor women.
Yeah, well, that's all a single mom needs. She just needs to find her a man to support her, and then America won't have to be paying all these benefits to all these single moms who are out there having out of wedlock babies for money.
Don't you love how they come up with these wildly inflated numbers and never have to back them up? She's making $51,000 a year working part time with all of her welfare benefits.
Well, yeah. Well, I like the $15,000 a year working part time, because I know people that are trying to get as much full time hours as they can get, and they can't get $15,000 a year.
You're right about that. And he thinks that he's perpetrating. You know, he's perpetuating this Ronald Reagan welfare queen myth that never really existed in the way that he described it. And since Clinton, you know, did the welfare to work thing, it's gone. There's no such thing. There is no such thing. And this whole fucking poverty envy thing they've got going, where it's so glamorous to be poor and you can get your Obama phone and get your nails done every week and your hair, get a free Obama car and a free Obama gas card and free education, and it is horseshit.
Yeah, because how far do you think President Obama's suggestion that every American should be eligible for 2 years of free community college, that's just going to sail right through the Congress, don't you imagine?
Yeah, right. Except they don't talk about things like in the state of Missouri, Stan. They have an A-plus program here for their high school kids, and if these kids maintain a certain level of comportment, if they, you know, they can't get into trouble, and they have to maintain at least like a 3.0 grade point average, and they have to do so many hours of community service, and if they do that, then they get their first 2 years of college, in essence, an associate's degree paid for by the state of Missouri.
And I happen to know there are some fine institutions available in the state of Missouri, Stan.
There are. And my nephew, who, when he was in school as a little kid, after I kept saying he's got, I just drew a blank. It's where you look at something and it doesn't look the way it looks to a regular person.
Oh, dyslexia?
Yeah, he's dyslexic. Sorry, I just had brain dyslexia. Yeah, he was dyslexic. I was looking at his work, and I was like, he's dyslexic. And they were like, no, he's lazy. And I was like, no, he's dyslexic. So finally, after 5 years of fighting with him, we got him tested, and he was severely dyslexic. And since he had an IEP and the school couldn't teach him, he came home, and every night we figured out a way for him to look at something and see it in a way that he could understand. And he told me flat out, he goes, they didn't do anything for me at school. You did, Aunt Carol. He said, you're the one who taught me how to read. You're the one who taught me how to understand it. You're the one who taught me to stop being so frustrated with it. He said, they didn't do shit for me. And he fulfilled all of his requirements, and he got his first 2 years of college paid for by the state of Missouri.
Nice. Nice.
Nice.
And that's, you know, I think that's probably a good idea.
In essence, if the state of Missouri were to opt into that, what they're saying is the federal government would pay for 75% of it. In other words, three semesters, and the state of Missouri would then only be on the hook for one semester. And what's the bet that my Republican teabagging legislature will say no because it's socialism?
Ain't gonna happen. Well, you know, we can't afford it.
Because this is the state that we can't have Obamacare in.
Yeah.
Because it's socialism. So we're giving away billions of federal dollars to other states. And then they cut the Medicaid program so that even fewer people qualify.
Man, that's some economics than Republican economics.
Yeah, because we love our people. And then the money that they saved on that, they gave as tax cuts to wealthy businesses who didn't need it.
They always need it, Carol. They always.
Because they're job creators. While in rural areas like where I live, the unemployment rate is still hovering around 8.5%.
Well, and that's the good unemployment rate.
That's the good unemployment rate.
The actual unemployment rate in Hooterville is probably approaching 20 or more.
Yeah, but that's the white unemployment rate. When you get to the wrong colored sections, it's far higher.
Well, if you just get to the segment of everybody combined, if you get to the segment of unemployed for more than 6 weeks or unemployed for more than 6 months, where they stop counting you at all.
That was me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Carol, it's been a lovely, I've enjoyed spending some more Ann Monday with you.
Why, thank you.
And thank you so much for the pair of secessionists that got us started.
My pleasure. Now on to the other Hornedonistas.
All righty. You take care. Have a good evening.
You too. Thanks for talking me off the ledge.
So that just leaves more room for me, Carol.
Fair enough.
See ya. That was very nearly Betty Rubble.
Bye.
Bye. News Ninja Carol Baker, and we'll keep things rolling. I do believe we have Bill on the line. Hey, Bill, you still there? Ah, dang it, we lost Bill. Well, so that means both lines are open, 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN, H-O-R-N, 4676, 304-663-4676. 21 minutes past the hour. I have not, partially due to forgetfulness and partially, well, I haven't mentioned fundraising this evening. Hasn't that been nice? That's nearly two solid hours of Bob not mentioning fundraising. And I'm proud to say that even though I didn't mention fundraising, Sal was still right there to help keep us going. And I also want to thank everybody who jumped in over the weekend, because we finished the week last week with a shortfall of, well, by the close of Friday on the front porch, it was about $95. And so I want to thank Sal for jumping in. Thank James. Thank Carl and Sandra, one and all. Thank you all very kindly for helping close that shortfall over the weekend. And thank you, Sal, for being right there this evening. It means a lot. Yeah, Jenny in Wisconsin is well familiar with Ron Johnson. And she said, please don't make Carol's head explode. It's close, close. Meanwhile, a note coming in from Ron and Raleigh. Sweet Mary, subject line. I just thought of something. We will not hear a reasonable voice on the corporate media for the next 2 years. We need to send Lindsey Graham's simpering, pearl-clutching ass to the hottest area of fighting, give him a rifle, and see how he likes it. Well, no, Ron. That's for other people to do. That's for the pros. That's for his lesses. You know, that's for the folks who don't live in the big house, like Lindsey does, to go and do. Bill, writing from Helena, says, things are not always what they seem. A little late tuning in tonight, so if you've covered this angle, my apologies. Now this new perspective on the world leaders leading the big march in Paris. Effing hypocrites all, just a big photo op. And yes, that self-same list of just who's been abusing the press in that lovely, lovely photo, that unity photograph. Right. Oh, what else? What else this evening? Because we've got an abundance. And like I said, I think we can move away from some of the other stuff. Ron and Raleigh mentioned Boko Haram earlier. And Sandra brought it up on Friday on the front porch. Now, this is a big deal. And the fact that the for-profit media cannot be bothered to cover this should stand to their eternal shame. You know, if they had any. But they're fresh out. Word is beginning to filter out a little bit here and there as to exactly what went on in Nigeria. And it is, without doubt, a horror. A fisherman who bore witness to the scene by the name of Bordi Akime and this story is imagine this now here's some irony for you. This story comes from Agence France-Presse, AFP, who, in the midst of having plenty of stuff to cover inside France, still managed to write a story about this. When Borye Kime crept back into the fishing town of Baga in northeast Nigeria in the early hours of Monday, a weak moon shone on a grisly sight. Borye Kime told AFP, "It is corpses everywhere. The whole town smells of decomposing bodies." Borye Kime is one of the ones who got out alive when the Boko Haram murderers arrived in his town. He and thousands of others took flight to get across the border and into Chad on January the 3rd. Yeah. Baga and 16 other settlements nearby were burnt to the ground. The way Agence France-Presse describes it is as follows. What happened in the remote north of Borno State is gradually emerging, lending weight to fears that it may be the deadliest attack yet in a six-year insurgency that has killed over 13,000. Then there's Yanaye Grema. This past Saturday, he told AFP that he had hidden for 3 days as the Boko Haram killers razed Baga. Now take this quote, for it is a quote, and try, if it is even humanly possible, because we cannot empathize, I don't think, because we have no frame of reference for it. At least most of us do not. Some perhaps, but most don't. Yanaye Grema said, "For 5 kilometers, I kept stepping on dead bodies." That's a pretty compelling image, isn't it? How many times has that quote been mentioned in the for-profit media since this story came out? The story itself is fairly new, but AFP can't be the only news outlet that knows about this. This has been going on since well before the weekend. And in a way, the remote coverage by people like Jake Tapper at Chicken Noodle News is kind of like, if you've ever worked in the radio business, in the for-profit radio business, I mean, we don't really do this kind of thing here at the Horn. But if you've ever worked for a little local radio station, you know about these things called remotes. That's where the car dealership hires you to come down there and broadcast live and talk about the car lot and hopefully draw people in who might somehow be convinced to purchase an automobile. And so when the DJ says, "And now we take you back live down to Harry's Used Car Emporium, where Matt
Nightstorm is standing by. Matt, what do you have for us? Matt Nightstorm says, Matt Nightstorm down at Harry's Used Car Emporium, and I got to tell you, there's a lot going on down here. When in point of fact, there's nothing going on. Lot going on down here. We'll be here till 5 o'clock today. Well, that's what all day was of the coverage, the for-profit media coverage of the rally and the march in Paris. This is not to take anything away from it, but there's not a hell of a lot of reporting to do. Let's go now to Jake Tapper live at Place de la République in Paris. Jake, what do you have for us? Well, there's a lot going on down here. And they could not be bothered to break away long enough to talk about 2,000 dead people in Nigeria, where in order to walk 5 miles, one to escape murder and mayhem and rape and pillage and plunder, one has to constantly step on bodies. Well, you know, Fred, we've been told now that Hayat Boumediene wasn't even in France at the time of the attacks. Yes, but she's a wanted woman, Fred. There's a lot going on down here. According to Daniel Eyer of Amnesty International, they have interviewed as many witnesses as they possibly could, and they have slowly put together a picture of Boko Haram going door to door, dragging out young men who were of fighting age and murdering them in cold blood. Daniel Eyer said, "It is based on these witnesses' testimonies that we are able to say that hundreds of civilians died in the attack, if not more, and thousands have been displaced." You remember Boryé Kimé? Boryé Kimé wound up going back to Baga because his entire world was there. He had been entrusted with money by others for safekeeping, and that is how seriously he took his obligation. He returned to a place knowing it might well cost him his life to recover that which he said he would safeguard. He said, "At first I tried to get in from the northern outskirts, but I saw flashlights and heard people talking. From the silhouettes I could tell it was a Boko Haram barricade. I withdrew and tried to approach it from the east, and again I saw flashlights close to the primary school. It was another security post. I moved away and went in by the livestock market, where I saw piles of bodies scattered all over. It was obviously a scene of a massacre." His home was almost entirely destroyed by fire. Baga had been effectively erased from planet Earth. And who knows how long these little villages have been there, but Baga is no more. And no millions will march in any streets anywhere for the sake of the slaughtered of Baga. The report goes on to note that the Nigerian government claims that they are in hot pursuit of the Boko Haram killers. But Mr. Kimé said there was not a single soldier in Baga. The vigilantes fought for some time but withdrew because they could not match Boko Haram's heavy weapons.
It was good the vigilantes put up resistance because that gave many of us time to flee Baga and take canoes into Lake Chad. Otherwise, we would all have been dead. I personally aided 4 fleeing soldiers to get to a boat. They practically swam on my back to the boat several meters off the shore. The soldiers threw away their guns and fled with us. Another individual by the name of Chief Shuaram said, I don't know where my 6-year-old son and 10-year-old daughter are. We lost them in the confusion as we tried to flee Baga. They were separated from the family, and we don't know if they're alive or dead. The government of Chad is trying to take care of the refugees, but they have insufficient resources, and the refugees are, as refugees almost always are, underfed and desperate for care, for security. And in the case of people like Chief Shuaram, any kind of knowledge that will tell them, regardless of which God to whom they pray, that their precious children are safe. 15,500 refugees have crossed into Chad now. I don't sit and watch for-profit media. All day and all night. So I don't know if maybe it has been covered on Fox. Maybe it's been covered on CNN or Headline News. Maybe it was on MSNBC. Carol notes that she's only aware of this because she saw it on Al Jazeera. Well, hell, you're not going to sell any ads for Colonial Penn Life Insurance with compensated spokesman Alex Trebek by featuring stories about people in Nigeria? It's not like they're a constituency. They're just poor human beings. Who gives a damn, right? Except for the fact that you give a damn. I give a damn. I guess we can conjugate the verb to give a damn. Piles. Piles. Of body. Attention. Attention must be paid. What else? Oh, this is Moran Monday, after all. You remember when the new United States of America was caught in the grips of the Ebola panic, and everybody was just sure that the Ebola was gonna be coming to busted knuckle junction any time, and we were all gonna, everybody was gonna get Ebola from toilet seats and breathing at each other and sneezing and boogers and silverware on plates, and the Ebola is just going to destroy America. They're gonna get us all killed, Rhett. I mean, John. By the way, if this was on video, you'd see that I was fanning myself when I said that. So do you remember in particular a woman by the name of Amber Vinson? Amber Vinson was the woman who lived in Texas, in Dallas. She was a nurse at Texas Health Presbyterian and was one of the nurses who had cared for Thomas Eric Duncan when after Texas Health Presbyterian finally decided he should be admitted to the hospital and subjected its nursing staff to an Ebola virus for which no one had been adequately prepared. Amber Vinson, after being told that she was cleared to travel, went from Dallas to Cleveland. And then she went visiting down in Akron. Yeah. And then she went back home to Dallas. Well, the day after she got back from Dallas, she tested positive for Ebola. She's still alive. She survived Ebola. She was given proper and good and prompt treatment at Emory Medical Center in Atlanta, Georgia, and was released on October 28th. She's clean as a whistle. But along the way, in the midst of our Ebola panic, remember an individual who had been to Africa, had been to a place 1,000 miles away from anywhere Ebola was? God, people lost jobs. People were asked not to come out and speak in public. School was canceled. Remember? Well, it turned out that in the Ebola panic, everywhere Amber Vinson had been in Ohio was subject to scrutiny. And one of the places she had been to in Ohio was a place called Coming Attractions. They sell wedding dresses. And because the store's name was put out there, everybody ran away from Coming Attractions and the store was closed for most of October and November. And now that store is going out of business. Not because they had crappy dresses, not because their prices were too high, not because there was even so much as a single Ebola virus anywhere near the place, but because the citizens in Akron, Ohio, citizens of this coward nation, that's COWERED, nation, were just sure that they might get wedding dress Ebola if they went anywhere near the store. Kayla Litz is store manager at Coming Attractions. She said, there's a lot of stigma that's going along with Ebola, and we still get calls. Is it safe to come in there? You can't Google the word Coming Attractions without the word Ebola coming up. A lot of people wanted refunds. They didn't want their dresses. They didn't want their dresses. I ain't getting married in no Ebola dress. Wrong accent, I'm sure, but you get the idea. Ms. Litz said, we tried very hard the last few months to bounce back, but it's just not happening. So the decision was made last week to cut our losses and close the business. But hey, all items are 50 to 80% off, and they're open till January the 31st. Our bridal gowns are all 60% off. All of our prom dresses are $99 or less. All of our shoes are $20 or less. And she said, I'm losing my job that I love very much. It's sad. Because this nation, which is in large part comprised of idiots, will let nothing more than unsubstantiated terror. And hey, there were no Muslims involved. This was fear of the unknown and the unseen. This was fear of things that existed only in the fervid, fetid, fermenting imaginations of people who are looking for stuff to be scared of. And now, instead of job creating, at least a little handful of people whose job was trying to make young women, women, not just young ones, women, beautiful. For proms and weddings. Well, that's over now. Wouldn't you love to be Ms. Litz trying to find work? Hey, ain't you that Ebola woman that had that Ebola dress shop? Hey, thank you, Carol Baker. Thank you very kindly for jumping in there next to Sal, helping out with fundraising this evening. It is much, much appreciated. And hey, Barbie!
Howdy!
How in the world are you?
I'm awesome again.
Oh, you stay that way.
I know. Did you know that I swore off kissing those sweaty Liberians so that I can't get Ebola?
We all have our crosses to bear and sacrifice.
That's right. And I now read Al Jazeera English. And that's the only reason I've been aware of what's going on in Nigeria. Sad commentary on American, not journalism.
Well, okay. So am I being overly cynical in saying that if only these were 2,000 white people dead, that Wolf Blitzer would be breathlessly overusing the word brutally a lot?
Not at all. He is.
Then doesn't that mean that this country has a race problem?
Definitely.
I'm really trying to be fair here. Do we have an attention deficit problem?
Definitely.
Can we only consider one disaster at a time?
Definitely.
Because see, I remember when we were all very, very concerned during the Christmas tsunami in Southeast Asia, and you know we were interested for a little bit in Fukushima. And I can remember when we even gave a little bit of a damn about 29 incinerated miners. You know, that was probably, in West Virginia, that was probably all of a week.
But we can only consider white disasters first. You got to throw that in there.
That's just, that breaks my heart.
I know.
We ought to be better than that. But the question is, Is this a matter of audiences driving what the newsroom does, or who's responsible here, Barbie? Is it the people in the newsroom? I mean, is America so vain and self-centered and racist that if we see a story about 2,000 brown people dead in Nigeria, that we just go, oh, click?
I absolutely believe that. I absolutely believe that's an accurate statement.
I desperately don't want it to be.
I don't want
it to be. I want to blame the newsroom. I want to blame the Wolf Blitzers of the world and the Jake Tappers.
That's what I'd like to blame, too.
And say, you know, listen, don't sell the American people short. You know, we can consider these things. But okay, the more I think about this, though, Barbie, the more problematic it becomes. If America finds out about this, do you think America might want to do something about it? Or would we simply look at Europe and say, hey, whose colony was this?
Get on it. Get on it, would you guys? I mean, we can't, you know, we can't be the savior of the world.
America won't care. They won't give a rat's ass.
I mean, Boko Haram, they're running around with the same stupid flag that the asshole in Paris had. And you know me, I don't like military solutions. But every now and then, my lizard brain gets the better of me, Barbie. And I think, really, are these guys that hard to kill? I mean, couldn't we put in a couple of, you know, couldn't we put in a Marine division and just, but maybe we can't. I don't know anymore.
Until Boko Haram attacks white people, we won't care.
So it's Rwanda all over again?
Pretty much.
Well, if there's any upside, at least we're not, because if this story was getting airtime in the for-profit media, we would be playing clips of Fox News asking the question, when will those people take responsibility for their own countries?
There you go.
And why aren't the Muslims apologizing for Boko Haram? And I'm just about had enough why won't the Muslims apologize stories.
Because it's not all Muslims. And it's, and I think news has a lot to do with it. Beating it into our heads, or trying to, certain news media.
Yeah.
And then they sit around the breakfast table and coffee tables and lunch breaks and you're always odd man out.
You know what I wish, and I'm giving this advice away for free, Barbie. I think Al Jazeera America should change their name.
Yeah.
And call themselves the News Patriot Channel, or Liberty News, Liberty Freedom News Network.
You know, until Pat Robertson apologizes, the Muslims don't have to apologize for a goddamn thing.
But I mean, if Al Jazeera was just called Liberty Patriotic Freedom News Network, you think people would watch it and maybe learn something about the world? About the world beyond their own prejudices and bigotries?
Well, I think the liberals would run for the hills.
Well, no, see, we'd already know.
Baggers can't read.
I mean, they could hire a bunch of beautiful women in short skirts. And the occasional, you know, reasonably intelligent guy, and just do this. And I don't want them to do anything differently than what they're already doing. I want them to do the exact same thing, just under the banner of Liberty Freedom Patriot News Network. And then maybe Arlie and Marvelline and Emery and Eileen and maybe they'd learn something.
I fight all the time with some of my friends about this, all the time, till I beat my head against the wall.
They're in Iowegiana.
Mm-hmm. But they aren't teachable.
Where does one go to get into it with one's fellow Iowegians?
Well,
I mean, grocery store, post office, is it that equal opportunity?
Yep. I can remember when my husband worked for the post office, they would crank on the radios and stuff at night while they were sorting mail, and there'd be debates going on all the time. And now we have Facebook and all the other social medias, and the fight's on. I see it on Facebook all the time.
Well, how far are we from the Iowa caucus? When does that go down? What, January, a year from now?
February, I think. Mm-hmm. The beginning.
You got a long year in front of you, Barbie.
Honey, I know. I'm already turning gray.
I mean, are you laying in the liquor or what? How are you going to get through the year?
I think it's going to be drugs.
Yes, it's Hunter Thompson time. I hate to recommend hard drugs and alcohol, but they've always worked for me, that.
I know. Well, I suppose I should lay some liquor in, too. Why not?
And don't forget the U-shaped blowgun.
Yep.
The Thorazine
dart. And some of that good pot that they've got.
Really mind-numbing stuff. Exactly. Well, Barbie, I thank you. I'm awfully glad you called in, and I'm glad I was actually looking in the direction where the call, because I'm sorry I missed your earlier call.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. I wanted to give you a chance to get it out of your system tonight.
I kind of needed to, I think.
I know.
The weekends do that to me. So I think now I'm just going to be a total shallow jerk and watch the last college football game of the year.
You can watch football, but don't become a shallow jerk.
Oh, that happens the minute I turn the TV on. Or,
yeah. Oh. Do you transform back?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I'm okay. I'll be okay once the Ducks are out of the woods, and I'm quite certain that Ohio State's not going to be national champions.
Okay.
Now I'll get hate mail for that.
Yes, you will.
But yeah, cross your fingers, right? Barbie, have yourself a wonderful evening and stay warm. We're having a little warm spell here ourselves. It got up in the 40s today.
We will hit there by the weekend, hopefully.
We're supposed to have a pure sunshine Saturday in the 50s.
Oh, you suck.
That's what I usually say to people. Oh, it's 80 here, Bob. Eat me.
My doors are froze shut. I can't get in. I can't get out.
Ooh, cabin fever.
Yeah.
Well, have yourself a good evening, and do stay warm. I'm awfully glad you called in, Barbie.
Thanks so much, Bob. You have a great night.
I'm a try. See you later.
All righty.
Bye now. And that is, that's Ms. Barbie calling from Iowegistan. So, it's time to get out of here. Thanks very kindly, for tuning in this evening for this Morin Monday. Thanks for putting up with my gremlins and me being late to the microphone. When we begin the program tomorrow evening, we will have a $285 fundraising goal. Thanks to Carol and Sal for jumping in this evening without me even having to say much about it. That's really cool. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy, moderators in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan and Carol Baker. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACHECT, ACHECT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.